Everybody, my name is Shane, and I was told by Peter Carl to make a few video dive deeper into the media buying campaign management side of things. But before we get into the tactical side of stuff, let me just have a quick minute to introduce myself. Currently, I have about more than 6 years of experience in the media buying scene. My current highest ad spend is at 3 millions per month. I spend it across Facebook, Google, YouTube, Instagram, a little bit of LinkedIn, and a little bit of TikTok before. Basically, I like to spend money at any places that I can make some money back. So my story with Peter started in Mindvalley. We started to crack the Facebook campaign first, and when the Facebook campaign get it's more stable, we then move into YouTube. So together we went from 0 to 40 millions in 12 months time, and the rest is history. But aside from the media buying side of thing, I also play the creative strategist role as well. Basically, I am responsible to provide the strategic direction after the ad went live. I am responsible to turn the data into some actionable steps so that my team can then create some iteration based on data so that we can sustain the performance together. That's pretty much about me. Before I start tackling from both platforms, and there's three fundamental rules that I would love to introduce, because across my time in Mindvalley, I have the privilege to work with some of the top agency in the world. But at the same time, because our team is constantly growing and evolving as well, I do have to onboard some new people back into the team. That being said, I am actually handling people from both sides of the spectrum, because I deal with people that has relatively solid experience in media buying. At the same time, I also have to deal with people that are relatively junior. But interestingly, this rules actually applies for both of the spectrum, because I do see both of these people make the same mistake when it comes to managing the campaign. It's very similar to how Peter starts his course. It's definitely about mindset as well, but I would like to lay it out as rules because it really justify how you approach the campaigns and how you're optimizing the campaign in the future. All right, rule number one, you need to learn to take action that actually counts. On the other words, you need to learn to focus on things or tasks that would actually move the needle. I know this sounds like a no-brainer, but the truth is, when a media buyer see there is tons of metrics that's available on the dashboard, they went crazy to analyze every single metrics, and then they went way too granular at the beginning of the campaigns. An example would be, I've met so many media buyers started to test the VSL on a very granular settings. They started to test things with like a specific state, a specific city, or even a specific like age group, demographic, and whatsoever. The truth is, if your goal is more or less like about, scaling from 0 to X million in X month time, you better back calculate your approach in launching a campaign, because it's gonna take forever to reach static. And the truth is, that piece of content that you are testing, if that say is based on such a granular data, is highly unlikely that's gonna scale. You only want to approach granularity when you have something that's proven and you want to make things sustainable. You don't want to be too granular at the first place, because that is not the way to scale. Another example, aside from all these things, would be there's so many media buyers that I've met as well. For some reason, they test the campaigns with ad copy or like headlines. Now, I'm not saying like being granular or like testing ad copy is a wrong thing. Don't get me wrong. I do think that's a very important approach to have a world-class piece of ad. But I'm talking about when you're first starting the campaign, I don't think ad copy is the most important thing to test. So obviously, you don't want to have something very lousy. You don't want to have something that doesn't speak the truth or doesn't evoke curiosity. But comparing testing an ad copy versus testing a lead or a hook at the very first place, it sounds like a no-brainer to me that the impact of a proven leads and hook is definitely going to have higher revenue impact compared to an ad copy. So when you're first starting a campaign, do you want to spend hours into cracking new ad copy that actually works? Or you want to start with testing tons of different variation of leads and hook first? Because speaking from experience, I'm almost very embarrassed to share this. I have run a ad that actually spent about like 7 figures with an ad copy that labeled with a wrong product. So you know how like in Mindvalley we have a lot of products, and that ad copy was correct, like the body of the copy was correct, but the call to action was basically mentioning another name of another product. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. But the truth is nobody read the ad copy. By the time I'm noticing that, that ad has already spent like 7 figures. So that experience confirmed me that ad copy really doesn't matter that much, especially at a call to action end, because even though I have labeled a wrong name, people still spend on it. I mean, the only reason that I managed to spend 7 figures on that single ad is because that worked, right? So to sum this rule up, I'm just basically encouraging people to have that justification on understanding the element that you are testing. And of course, I am encouraging you to test the most important thing first. Like I said, ad copy compared to a lead or a hook, it's really not important at this place. In reality, you will actually face a lot more different situations or like different elements to test. But as a media buyer, you need to be strategically telling your team what is the most important things to test at the moment. All right, rule number two is the obvious 80 and 20 rules. Across my experience, managing a lot of the products across Mindvalley and also some of my experience auditing some of my clients' accounts, typically there's this two scenario. Usually 20% of the ad that is supporting 80% of the revenue, or it's 20% of the product that is actually supporting 80% of the revenue. The thing I'm trying to emphasize here is, as a media buyer, how are you leveraging on that insight? To put things into examples, let's just say it's in a campaign and you already have, say, a look-alike targeting that's actually already working. And now you want to scale that product and you have a certain amount of budget you could potentially spend. So would you rather to further test on like a look-alike variation, that being like a different percentile of their look-alike, or like a different list of look-alike, or would you rather, you know, test something that is like maybe something out of the look-alike thing, which is going to be like interest or like, you know, any other things that is not within this category? That would be one of the example from a targeting perspective. Another example would be, say, on the creative side of things. Assuming that you have hundreds of creative running already, and typically from my experience, only 20% of the creative able to spend up to more than 6 figures ad spend in a month. Now, with that, what is your approach as a media buyer? What are you going to do with that insight, right? For me, I would take and analyze the common parent from those 6 figures creative, and then I will create iteration of that. Instead of thinking from a perspective where now I have those 6 figures spending creative already, I am going to create another set of 6 figures spending creative from a completely different creative approach, text treatments, and angles. I've met so many people literally just constantly trying on white spaces. And to me, that is the nuances, and that is the key things why not every media buyer is a good media buyer that can scale from 6 figures to 7 figures to 8 figures, because you are not leveraging on the lowest hanging fruits and you are not leveraging on your wins. To me, it sounds like a no-brainer, but again, it kind of ties back to rule number one, because when people are being very granular into like metrics and data, you would get lots from that analysis, right? I have went down to the path on diving very, very deep into data before. Even though you have find out some insights or some really solid understanding of those data, you can't act on it. Like CPC went up, okay, on this specific country. So what are you gonna do? A lot of the time there's nothing you can do about it. So again, make the most important thing, and then layer with the 80-20 rules. When you have something is already like giving you consistent performance, please make your focus onto that thing first. Either scale it, duplicate it, or like create iteration of it instead of just trying something completely out of these categories and thinking that you can create, the subcategory of this. So the conclusion of rule number two is that you need to identify what is your lowest hanging fruit first. And once you identify that, obviously you want to double down on that. And that can be from a targeting, from an ad, or from a campaign structure perspective. So for example, to me, performance max on Google used to be one of my lowest hanging fruit. And with that, I kind of just scaled it across different funnels and different products that I have. So you need to identify that first, identify your 20%, and then expand within that 20% of rule instead of like kept on trying new spaces. You can do anything, but not everything. Goal of a media buyer is to scale the campaign as long as possible. But the thing is, you want to strike a balance between scale and sustain. To put things into perspective, there are a lot of media buyer, again, start things that are way too small. Right? You are starting your daily budget way too small, and that is the reason why you can't scale things. But at the same time, interestingly, there's also another set of media buyer. They start things with a decent daily budget, and then they just kept doubling the budget every single day, which it really screwed up the algorithm. And then at the end of the day, the campaign couldn't sustain like for a long period of time. And that is precisely what I meant by you need to strike a balance between scalability and sustainability, because even though you have something that is up and running and actually showing you promising result already, you don't want to screw up the algorithm. You don't want to screw with the campaigns, and you kept doubling the budget, and then make the campaign not sustained at the first place. Now, I would dive deep into this across both of this platform, because I would say that the handling and the optimization rules would be different with Facebook and Google. But all I'm trying to say is that you don't want to start your campaign way too low because you can't scale. And the other point I'm trying to make is that even if you have something that's working already, you don't want to scale it up too fast for scalability, but then at the end of the day, nothing sustained. Because what that brought your team toward is that as a media buying team, you need to just then kill the campaigns that stop working already, and then you would keep pressuring your creative team to keep on, feeding you with new hooks, new leads, or whatsoever to sustain the performance. So altogether, you are actually ending up things in the firefighting mode. In the long run, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it's good for anyone's mental health. We have reached things to an end. I'm so excited. So this is not a rule per se, but I just wanted to warn you first before you start your campaign, especially for new media buyers that doesn't have like a solid ad account to begin with. Be prepared that your account's gonna get banned, because that's what happened to me. I have uploaded way too many videos at a very short period of time. And second thing is that all of those videos are like super long. So that is actually what considered as an unusual activity for Facebook. That's why like a lot of my account got banned. But thank God that, Mindvalley back then has a really good support from like Facebook and Google. So I managed to get through that. But like for you who actually doesn't have that, just be prepared that that would happen, and it's completely normal. You just need to make sure that, I'm pretty sure Peter Kals has covered that in some of his sessions. You need to make sure all of your points is not actually violating any of the ad policy. Then you can appeal it afterwards. And the second thing, before you get started with your campaign, is you want to season your pixel. So it doesn't have to be an ad campaign. It doesn't have to be a conversion campaign to begin with. You can start with like some organic stuff, some page view stuff, some like really organic and small things. The only only thing I want to emphasize here, you want to season your pixel so that when you are starting your paid campaigns, things could be more effective at the first place. That's it. And I will see you next at talking more into the Facebook campaign.